football on off the ball.
Yeah, I think we needed a big statement home win like that, and I think it was convincing to go. It's never happened in my whole career that I've conceded after 8 seconds. I can't believe we conceded after 8 seconds.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78. Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster greats Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. As we look back on Munster's big win over Ulster, John Hodden and Alex Kendallin in great form for the Reds over the weekend. We'll go through the weeds of that game, where it stands for Munster going into the last two games of the season, and we'll have a quick look ahead as well to their next game, which is against Connacht, not this weekend but the following weekend. So delighted to have your company on the show this evening. Alan, Fiona, how are you guys?
Good, Rory. It was a good weekend. Went to the AIL women's final on Sunday. It was bittersweet for me, obviously my team I used to coach, but I also played with them my whole life, so I was going supporting Bows, and what an absolute cracking end to a game. Yeah. Blackrock went up and scored and you thought it was all over. They just had to hold on to the ball for about 30 seconds, and Katrina Finn, who'd come off the bench down the other end, scoring to break Blackrock's hearts. It was it was joyful. Brilliant scenes. But yeah, 3-0 for UL Bows, so that was an eventful Sunday, obviously on the back of that big Munster win as well on Saturday.
Now, Mr. Quinlan, how are you, sir?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, I watched that ending to that women's AIL final as well. Phenomenal end. Bit like Manchester United, you know, when there's a change of coach, like things, fortunes change. No, she knows I'm only joking, but it was great drama. It was great drama to see that. And then, to be fair, the men's final afterwards was a brilliant game as well. So well done to UL Bows and to Mary's in winning it as well. They've a bit of a story of been down the ranks for a couple of years and back up there and winning it. Brings back kind of memories of me winning with Shannon. 6 times.
Dare I say. Not that he's counting, Fiona.
Yeah, no. But you know, you go on and have success as a professional monster in Ireland and stuff. But that's the lifeblood of the game, the club system, and it's still a very important pathway that in the professional game. And sometimes we forget that. We think of academies and professional game, and I think the club game is very, very important. And so many volunteers work behind the scenes, give up their time and create those special days for people like we saw on Sunday. So, you know, it was an incredible finish to the women's game. The senior game, obviously the men's senior game was, I think Mary's had a good lead for most of that second half, but to see that drama and the women's game and the excitement and it all pays off in the end. It's heartbreak for one team and joy for the other team. So, yeah, well done to both teams.
Just before we kick off the podcast proper as well, best wishes to UCC's Sam O'Sullivan. He's recovering well after suffering a cardiac incident during the All-Ireland League playoff game against Shannon on Saturday. He collapsed in the second half of the game at the Mardyke. The game was abandoned. UCC were leading 31-12 at the time. So UCC have since been awarded the game, confirming their 1B status for next season. I know that was against your former side, Alan Quinlan, but the best result here is that Sam O'Sullivan is recovering well.
Yeah, of course. I think it's for any of us involved in rugby, whether it was players, volunteers, coaches, whatever, I think it's always frightening to hear something like that. Even more so, I think, when you know the people involved. I know Tyke well. He's dead. He was my Munster doctor for throughout my Munster career. And his son, I remember him as a small whippersnapper going around with Tyke. Yeah, it's frightening. The good news story out of it all is that he's recovering well, and that's we're not talking about a tragedy here. So, very frightening experience for everybody, and I can't dare to think what it's like for Tyke and Sam's mum and other family members there seeing something like that happening, and very frightening for all the players as well. So, it's more than a game when something like that happens, and UCC were winning well, and that the result stands at that. Mm. So it's just great to hear that Sam is recovering, and it's a shocking situation for everybody, because obviously for Sam himself, for Sam O'Sullivan, but the people around him, the fright you'd get from that, so thankfully he is recovering, and we wish him all the best and send him our good wishes.
Yeah, and huge kudos as well to everyone who helped Sam on the day in the ground, and all the doctors who are continuing to treat Sam at Cork University Hospital. Right, let's have a look back at this Ulster game that Munster won quite well in the end. We'll get into the depths of that in a bit. First though, Fiona, a lot of messages reaching us about the game.
Yeah, and thanks again, guys, for sending in those messages. We'll read out as many as I can. We will start with Stephen Davies. Munster, were on a hiding to nothing due to the squad Ulster brought down, who had nothing to lose and were always going to come out all guns blazing, full of energy and intensity, and see how long they could sustain it. We knew what was coming and managed the game well. A good few positive ones this week, which is great on the back of last week. Dave Ahern said, great to get the win, but if we started like that against a full Ulster side, it could have been a very different game. We look like we had no game plan again. Has McMillan improved the team in any way? Gulf between Crowley and JJ is massive. We'd do better maybe having Wood in as well as a backup. Tara Spain played same as Leinster, yet they are considered favourites as we are having a terrible season. Let's hope events off the field get sorted and we continue our winning ways. Injuries are a worry. A few new players next season and we will forget this nightmare. JJ Casey, John Hodnett playing like he was when he won the URC in 23. His dynamism, speed off the tackle shows his quality, clinical precision. Could yet be a bolter for an Irish team inclusion and should be. Kean McGibney, mixed first half. JJ coming in for Jack late on, had things unsettled, but they found their feet in the second half. Still giving up silly penalties, but 2 point wins in 2 weeks, not to be sniffed at this point. Huge game versus Connacht. Injuries could dampen things, but time for others to step up. Kean. And the last one, Munster really showed up on Saturday. Huge positive. Bit shaky in the first 10 to 15 minutes, but wow, really hit the ground running. Alex Cadenal off the bench again, phenomenal. John Hodnett, unbelievable. Really an enjoyable performance. And Toman was packed, so it was great to see.
What was your take on the game, Fiona?
Yeah, it was that. I think the writer wrote in there about those 10-15 minutes. When you bring down an academy squad, a young squad, they're always going to come out firing. They absolutely have nothing to lose. Was delighted to see Jake Flannery as well in their ex-Munster man getting that start at 10. So yes, Munster had a few errors, but I thought when they picked things up, and the biggest thing for me, Rory, as well, was when those injuries came in and people had to shift into different roles, into different places, we saw some players out in the wing and everything, they were able to do that and still keep that level up high. But just watching Kendellan and Hodnett, I thought they were really, really enjoying their rugby. There was smiles on their faces. They look like, yes, obviously it's on the back of scoring a few tries, but throughout the game, it just looked like there was just something in the team that they knew they had to lift it to another level. Mm-hmm. And that Craig Casey pass, that beautiful on the right wing, Craig Pacey out the back, then Coombs out the back again. It was just, as I said, they looked like they were enjoying it. They were throwing the ball around. There's always going to be a few areas in the game people are going to give out about around penalties or scrum. Maybe there's a couple of scrum offences in there that they need to sort out as well. But I just, in terms of where we went from a couple of weeks ago to the rugby they're mm-hmm. playing now, and especially that attacking, how their attacking games out in those wide channels. I think it's exciting. There's no pressure anymore on this team. Yes, it's a big game against Connacht, but obviously you have the Lions at home as well. So I think in this less pressured environment, they're getting the couple of wins, and obviously Ulster coming down with that squad as well is kind of huge for them, because they knew they could go out and really put the foot down and scored some cracking tries.
Yeah, how much can you read into this game, Quinny, I suppose, given the squad that Ulster did bring down?
I think there was the second half was obviously way more positive, and they flexed their muscle a little bit, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time. You have to be patient. I think first 20 minutes, very frustrating. Ulster were very good. They came with a lot of energy and a desperation, I suppose, and they would have spoken about that all week, that people would write them off, and it was a chance for them to prove themselves and maybe get contracts or enhance themselves individually as well. So when you come up against teams like that, and it's a bit like the FA Cup, isn't it, in football, in soccer, sometimes teams that are perceived to be weaker, they get results, they frustrate the opposition. But it wasn't a situation like where Ulster were defending for dear life all the time and in that first half and hanging on and stopping Munster playing. I think Ulster took the game to Munster from the word go. I think it was very impressive, their continuity, their attack and their accuracy at times. And you know, overall, they had 54% possession the game and 60% territory, and it doesn't kind of look like a team that were absolutely dominated in the second half and the scoreline. So, Munster were you know, I suppose, look, if you're being harsh and you're looking at some of the way they started and you know, some of the messages that come in there speak about that start, you need to be much more clinical and control a game way better from the word go when you have to get results like that. People will argue and say, well, they got the desired result in the end. They got the five points. And I wouldn't be too critical of them, to be honest, because I've been in that situation before where you're supposed to win well and things start to unravel a little bit. I still think there's a leadership issue in the team. And Jack Crowley not playing probably decreases that a little bit. And that's no disrespect to JJ Hanrahan. I just think Jack Crowley's become a real leader, and we've seen that in recent weeks. We've seen a real spring in his step. So sometimes it needed a little bit of calmness and better decision making and a little bit more control early on. But they came up against Ulster, who were full of energy, and their young players were having a real cut at it. So the good news, I suppose, is the second half performance and the dominance there, and the ability to create line breaks and win collisions and get over the game line at midlife so much easier for Munster. I do disagree with Fiona. And I rarely do, about there's no pressure on the team now. I think the pressure is released a little bit. Mm. And I probably get what she means. But I still think there is massive pressure on this team. It's been a really poor season. And you can't mask over those poor performances. I think you look at the table, and again, people have sent messages and said, well, Munster are having this dreadful season. They've won 10 games. They've lost 6. They're sitting in fifth, 2 points behind Leinster, 2 points behind Lions, 4 points behind Glasgow in second, and 5 points behind the leader Stormers. So it doesn't read that it's been a dreadful season. But I think the big hurt and the big kind of disappointments are obviously Europe and even the Challenge Cup stuff, and a couple of losses, heavy losses in there that were ones that you'd kind of remember. So by Munster standards, I think it's the table looks good now. And thankfully, in the last couple of weeks, that picture has changed. To go to Benetton and get 5 points was really, that was the one that was so important to enhance this situation. And I think they got a bit of a break off Ulster with the number of injuries they had, mm-hmm. and the fact that Leinster beat them up there. I think it changed Richie Murphy's, it hampered their team a bit with more injuries. And the fact that they're in a Challenge Cup final, I always looked at that Ulster game and said, that's a really tricky one. A full Ulster strength team coming down there will fancy it. And what we've seen from the first kind of half of the season, Ulster were, you know, probably had a real spring in their step. And it's amazing where it can change in a couple of weeks. They find themselves, in eighth position and in danger of possibly missing out in the top eight. So lots of good stuff in the game. Certainly some stuff that would still be needs to get better and improve. But given all the off-field stuff and given the pressure that was on the team, and you know, to get 10 points out of the two games is a really good return. So they can be happy, I think. And there was a good atmosphere there at the weekend. There was a good crowd, and that was important given all the stuff again that was off field. It hasn't gone away. It's just gone quieter. Hopefully that can be resolved as well. But the players, to be fair to them, they over that 2 week block, they stepped up. They delivered. It's incredible. You hear Clayton McMillan talking about, you know, squad looks healthier. They have a few more options. They have a bit of power back in the group. And then you play the game at the weekend and you have four players who are possibly won't play again this season. And, you know, Sean Klein, we might not see him back in a Munster jersey. He damaged his bicep. Ollie Yeager, again, that's... it's a very precarious one, you know, to have a knock in the head again. He's the most unfortunate guy I know in the game now, or I can remember all this happening to him. But Calvin Nash, hamstring, and Tom Farrell, it looks like it's his shoulder. And those four players, it's unlikely we'll see them again. And that's probably the big negative out of the weekend.
Yeah, and sorry, just I meant on that kind of pressure's off. I mean, no one expects anything from them now, kind of on the back of those performances.
We do expect,
but I just feel internally, you know, it's like you have to have a home semi quarter final. Sorry, I think now everyone's just like let's finish here and try and get that, which is kind of a little bit, I think, where they're at now. They've kind of sustained a little bit of those pressure with the two wins, but yes, obviously we want the best.
You know, the mad thing here is, and we talk through the table at the end,
they could finish.
It's mad to think that. And obviously Connacht is, we'll talk more about that next week and we'll get back to the Ulster performance in a minute. But if Munster were to get two bonus point wins, they could actually finish second.
Second, I know.
You get one win and you're possibly finishing in the top four. You'd need, you know, the Lions play Leinster this week. You need Leinster to beat the Lions. And then Munster need to beat the Lions. So that would keep them, even if they got two losing bonus points, the Lions and Munster were to, you know, to get one win, which would be against the Lions, they'd go ahead of them. So I think they could make top four, which would be really dream territory in a sense of getting a home quarter final with the financial implications of that. And, you know, the possibility of, you get a home quarter final there, you could be in a semi final, and then that's where the pressure releases a bit more. You're in bonus territory. So, anyway, that's probably getting ahead of ourselves. And that Connacht's Munster game Saturday week has a whole world of its own, a mind of its own, I should say. And that will be such a spicy affair. That's going to ramp up. But yeah, the picture is much better. But the pressure, I would say now, is to try and get better. Be more accurate and improve their performances. And going back to your question, Rory, about, you know, what was my take in it? Disappointing first half, way better in the second half, but it can happen. And, you know, they could have got another couple of scores. It could have been up into the 50s, but it doesn't really matter in the sense of the 5 points was the most important thing.
Well, that is it for part one of this week's episode of The Red 78. To listen to our full episode where we will continue our discussion about Munster's win over Ulster and we'll look ahead to the Connacht game as well, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Go Loud app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.